Do you have a boyf or are you a boyf? Well, then look inside your pants and see what you've got in there. Hello, there's some underwear in there, and whatever you're wearing is probably not as amazing as Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. When I was shopping for stuff for my boyf, I was like, OMG, this happened so fast. It was like, I don't know, falling in love. I got my boyf the boxy briefs, the Pima crew neck, and the Sunday pant. They were like soft but thick and high quality, so his big, strong body won't tear them apart. And the Sunday pant was like a comfy PJ pant, but fitted, so it hugged his little butt in a really flattering way for me to look at. And if you're a boyf listening to this, think about this. Your girlf might say this type of stuff about you. Wow. Not only does Mack Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts look good, they perform well too. You can work out in them, go to work in them, go on dates, work out on dates, go to work dates, you know, everything from top to bottom. If you are a listener of this podcast, you get a sick little discount. So go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using promo code MOUTHTIME. That's MackWeldon.com with 20% off. Promo code MOUTHTIME. Thanks.
Hey guys, Sklar Brothers here, along with Daniel Van Kirk.
And just hanging at the Waffle House.
Just hanging at the Waffle House? No, we have a very special guest, phenomenal improviser, star, and creator of the show Detroiters. He's fantastic on Veep. Sam Richardson, you join us in Dumb People Town. Are you excited about your first Dumb People Town experience?
Excited, as excited as possible.
You willing to toss a tray?
I'm willing to toss a tray. I'm willing to have a seat in the middle of an aisle.
Yeah. Willing to just sit down, open
and set up your own bar in a grocery store. That's what it's about.
Sam says, we got to talk about what happened before.
How did we get here?
So
that question gets answered on the next Dumb People Town.
Hey everyone, Dakota here. And if you're sick of fake news, well, I've got some real news for you. And that's that we're going to be doing this podcast live in Los Angeles on April 20th at 8 p.m. at the Lyric Hyperion. Our guest is the one and only Paul F. Tompkins. And I'll be joined by my co-host, Quen, who is going to be out of jail for one night only on a conjugal visit. That's when you get to leave jail so that you can go get some. I'm so excited to have her back, and we hope you can join us. That's April 20th at 8 p.m. in Los Angeles at the Lyric Hyperion. Check out reductress.com/events for more info. Open wide, it's mouth time with Reductress.
I'm Manila.
And I'm Zakora.
And we're just two girls
who share what our heads are thinking
by moving our mouths.
On today's episode, here's what we'll be mouthing about. We went to office-mandated therapy, and now we're fixed.
We confront our innermost demons and say, hey.
We learn how to throw our feelings into a big old fire.
And we're joined by renowned child psychologist Jenny Vermouth.
We're editors of Reductress, the only source for women's style, news, entertainment, life advice, inspiration, and a rat. Just kidding. That's my lunch.
You're funny.
So Manila, it's really good to have you back on the pod.
It's great to be here.
Well, actually, maybe like let's just start off the epi by just being like super honest with our listeners and say that. So Manila and I got into a huge fist fight at the office last week, but now we're friends.
I'm glad we're being honest. And if we're really being honest, I should say that you started the fight.
Yes. This is true. I walked into the snack room last week and I saw Manila restocking our fiber crisps, which are really good for your shits.
Yes, excellent for your shits.
They're really good. Like they're just really good for your shits. And basically I was like, it's so weird. I just like want to punch her in the face. So I did.
It was so interesting because it really just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, for me too. It just like really came out of nowhere. One second I was coming back from yoga like, namaste, bitches. And then the next, I was pinning you against the LaCroix fridge and punching you in the face.
You were screaming, they're good for your shits. And I was like, huh? The fiber crisp or the LaCroix fridge? I need you to be more specific.
And that was like really frustrating for me because I wasn't sure.
I pulled out most of Dakota's hair.
And I knocked out one of Manila's teeth.
But it wasn't the one I used, so it was fine.
Yeah. Anyway,
I have my eating tooth.
Yeah, you have one eating tooth. I love that about you.
Yeah. Anyway, the snack room is like totally wrecked, so it's closed forever.
Yeah, it's really sad. We had to like trap all the bad energy in there so it wouldn't poison the office. The energy in there is like
radioactive. And the worst part of the whole fist fight was that our mini pig saw us fight and got exposed to it and started acting totally weird.
Right. So we decided to take her to therapy.
We were like, mini pig, you need to go to therapy.
Yeah, she was out of line and needed an intervention. So Reductress was like, that's it. We are mandating that this pig seek therapy. And then we took him to see a therapist.
And then while we were at therapy with our mini pig, being like, please, doctor, help the mini pig who works in our office feel better. The doctor was like, wow, slow down. You both seem like you need help. And we were like, sure. And then she became our doctor, too.
Yeah. So now we're taking the same medication as our mini pig.
Pig antidepressants. Honestly, I don't feel any different.
Yeah, I also don't feel any different. I feel the same. Oink, oink, oink. Oink.
I feel like life has been a lot better since the pig antidepressants kicked in. Like, my teeth grew braces, so oh now they're straight.
Yeah, that's amazing. Your teeth do look really good. I didn't realize it was because they grew braces. Mm-hmm. I have the pretty woman disease, which is where you go into a store and they're mean to you. And that's new because of the pig antidepressants.
Yeah, and now since being on the pig antidepressants, I can only eat from a trough like they do in Charlotte's Web.
Oh, that's cute, though. I like that for you.
Thank you. And so I actually was inspired to rename my lifestyle blog Charlotte's Web.
Oh, that's awesome. You should sell it and try to make it into a book.
Okay.
And the book could be called Charlotte's Web.
That would be an amazing title for a book.
Yeah, classic. I actually legally changed my name to Charlotte from Sex and the City.
So, like, from Sex is your middle name and in the city is your last name?
Yes. So my full name, and this is what I'd like to be called, is Charlotte from Sex and the City.
Okay, I'll remember that. I'm just kidding. I forgot.
I could tell that you already forgot. What else is different about your life since you started pig antidepressants?
Well, now that I'm on pig antidepressants, when I went to the dentist to get my new braces scraped off, I opened my mouth so wide that my dentist's whole head went in my mouth and I was like, time for my first kiss.
Oh my God. Is that what a kiss is?
Yes. My first kiss was with my dentist.
It's when you open your whole mouth really wide that a man can stick his whole head in your mouth.
Yes, and you have to wait until you're ready for it. Because if you do it before you're ready for it, it's like not... What?
Yeah, you're just like, why does this man have his whole head inside my mouth?
It can be really beautiful when you decide you're ready to accept a whole head inside your mouth.
That's so beautiful. Thank you. A man's head enter your mouth.
It is a rite of passage. Yeah,
especially if the man has like a really long ponytail. You know? Like a long ponytail.
Yeah, and plays a bass guitar. And you're like, is it bass guitar? And he's like, that's a fish. And you're like, okay.
The other crazy thing that happened to me since I went on the pig antidepressants and my whole life has changed is that my middle school art teacher, this bitch named Sandra, yeah, she called me. And she told me that she was proud of me.
That's so rude.
I know.
It's like, you don't already know?
I know. It's like, well, what? You should have been proud of me then. Because I painted a butterfly. And there was a competition. And this other bitch won. And not me.
Do you know that I won an art competition in fifth grade? I drew two angels holding up a star. And I got $50 worth of art supplies. And I was like, I thought I was getting $50. And they're like, no, bitch, you're getting $50 worth of art supplies. And I was like, I don't care about this.
What are you supposed to do? Like, draw more angels holding out stars?
No, I was done. I wanted to go to Abercrombie Kids.
That's still where I shop.
It's like, where can you get small clothes that are even smaller?
Where can I get clothes that'll make me look like a slutty child?
Yeah, that's where I go to.
I love that. That's my style.
Mm-hmm.
I love my style.
I love your style too. You always look honestly cute. And I know we're coming off a fight, but I want to say you do look cute.
That's so nice of you to say. And I am sorry that I punched you in the face, but I do want to say that you also always are wearing clothes. So we did another huge thing this week that's worth mentioning. And that is that we faced our demons. And demons are really scary. So this was hard.
It was really hard.
My biggest demon is that my elbows are always so dry.
I faced my demon and now I have my own skincare line.
Oh my God, that's great. Like, how did you work that out?
Well, my demon is just this guy named Ted who lives in my house. He's a literal demon.
No way.
Yeah. So I faced him and we made a deal and now I own a skincare line.
Wow. Did you like trade your soul or whatever?
No, I gave it up for my discount shoe line.
Oh. So what'd you do to get the skincare line?
I just asked nicely.
Oh my God. Politeness goes such a long way.
It's really all you have left when you no longer have a soul because you gave it up for your discount shoe line.
Totally.
Plus, Okay. Also, besides asking nicely, Ted made me do that Vogue 73 questions thing for 4 days straight in and around my studio apartment.
Ugh, tell me about it. I sold my soul for better cuticles, and now I have to say please and thank you everywhere I go.
It sounds like the real demons were your weak cutie kills.
Tell me about it. I just feel like I faced a lot of demons and it feels good to like finally be done with them. Like just have them out of my life. Like there were so many demons that were just like clouding my every day and I didn't even realize it. And once I got them out of my friggin' life, I was like, wow, I've really faced my demons. Like, for example, I faced my like... My number one demon was my cuticles, I guess, because they are just like so disgusting. Mm. And then another demon that I faced was bar soap.
Yes.
Major demon.
Huge gemum.
So I was in the shower and I was like trying to use the soap and it was slipping every which way. And I was like, you know what? This is frankly a pretty major demon. And so I threw it out the window.
Do you got a loofah?
I got a loofah and I don't put soap on it. I just use the loofah because I think that's how it works.
That's all you need.
I've just been scrubbing my body with the loofah, no soap.
Soap is a demon that was weighing you down.
Exactly. What about you? Any more demons?
Well, one of my main demons is indifferent dogs, like dogs that don't love me when I see them.
I hate that.
And it's been so hard. So I took my neighbor's dog that doesn't love me and I sent it to summer camp.
That's great.
Yeah, I registered it for this child summer camp and then I just dropped it off and then I haven't told my neighbor.
I think that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Your neighbor doesn't need to know because your neighbor's going to be thankful that you got rid of this demon.
Yeah.
Another demon, store brand Advil. Hate that shit.
No, it doesn't work.
Yep. I hate it.
I always think when you go to the drugstore, you just pick the most expensive one and that's the one that will work for you.
Yeah, that's how you know that it's going to work.
That's what my mom told me.
Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like, obviously, I think two huge demons for both of us, cheese and bread.
Mm-hmm. Especially together.
Yes.
Very big demons.
Yeah. I accidentally tried one at Whole Foods. I thought it was apple, but it was cheese. And I was like,
oh my God. I'm so sorry. I didn't know that you had lived through that trauma.
I don't like to talk about it. But honestly, now that I'm on the pig antidepressants, I feel like I'm okay with everything. I can come clean.
You seem really at peace.
Yeah, I seem incredibly at peace. That's why I'm clutching this chair so tight.
Yeah. My major demon that I've had since I was a kid that like comes, I guess, from like childhood trauma or whatever is the color yellow. No one looks good in that color.
No one looks good in a color.
Well, some people do, but like not me.
No, yellow belongs to the sun only.
The yellow belongs to the sun and sometimes the sand.
Yeah, okay.
The sand, and that's it.
That's the only yellow things in the world.
Exactly.
And when someone wears yellow, it's like, oh, okay, you think you're as big a deal as the sun and the sand?
Exactly.
No.
You're not the sun and the sand, you bitch.
You beach?
Yeah, beach.
You're not the beach.
You're not the beach, you bitch.
That's a pun.
Okay, a few more demons that I feel very serious about. One is, okay, I had to watch a web series about what it's like to be both young, wild, and also free. Uh-huh. And I was like, this is a major demon. And I faced that and I was like, you know what? I'm never going to watch another web series again.
I cannot believe how real we're getting in this episode. It's like we never talk about what we actually feel. And I think we've come such a long way. I feel like if you want to get closer with someone, you should punch them when they're not expecting it.
Because it really brings you like onto the same page.
Yeah. And honestly, the black eye she gave me, it does look like a cute smoky eye and I'm not mad.
Yeah, it looks really good. I love it.
Thank you. We can do it again when it fades.
Okay.
This is a good relationship.
Now it's time for our most a la mode segment.
The mouthwash. Where we take a headline, heat it up, top it with ice cream, then feed it to our dog because we're doing the Whole 30 this month.
This week's headline is How to Catch Feelings and Then Throw Them in the Fire Where They Belong by Jasmine Pierce.
This article really hit home with me.
Yeah, same. Like sometimes I have feelings and I'm like, what do I even do with this? And what I learned from this article is that what you should do is you should take your feelings and then you should throw them in the friggin' fire.
When I feel feels, I just burn them up. Big feels, small feels, I just toss them in.
Yeah, sometimes I get a small feel like, eep, and I just get so upset I don't know what to do.
And sometimes I get a big feel like, and it makes me
so angry because feelings are weakness.
Right. Yes, they are. Exactly. Which is why you should just throw your feelings over your shoulder and walk away in slow motion while your feelings explode behind you.
Like Bruce Willis, but with no feelings.
Right. Yes. Like Bruce Willis. He's a very feeling actor, I think.
Yes. He's a really emotional guy.
Yeah. He seems really in touch with his emotions.
Mm-hmm. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
I love to just toss my feelings in a bonfire and roast some feeling s'mores.
Yeah. I just like throw my feelings into a big sexy teenage bonfire beach party and then make out with a 16-year-old lifeguard named Prody with a P.
I scramble my feelings like the morning's eggies and toss them into my dud rich husband's poolside grill with an E at the end.
Ooh, a grill.
A grill.
Sometimes, I guess if I had to describe my feelings, like kind of like when you pay to perform at Coachella and then as you're getting off stage, you fall and scrape your knee and you have to get stitches. But does like that make any sense? Like, but on the inside.
On the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. When I paid to perform at Coachella, I got a headache and I was like, oh, maybe this is kind of like what a feeling is.
Yeah, totally. I think it is.
And you have to just toss those right in the fire.
Toss them right in the fire.
I can't believe how hot fires are. I wanted to get a tan, so I jumped into my parents' fireplace at Christmas Eve dinner, and everyone turned it into such a freaking thing.
Ugh, everyone does make a big thing when you're just like, I just want to jump in the fire.
Yes, I just want to get rid of my feelings and just jump in the fire.
Yeah, I just want to like put my feelings in a fire, and I want to like put myself in the fire too. And then everyone's like, why are you trying to jump into a fire?
You know, people are obsessed with me and it's so annoying. And I'm like, I'm a grown woman. Like, I can deal with this shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm a grown ass woman who can like jump into a fire if I want. And if it's because I feel like I need to cleanse myself from all of the terrible feelings, good and bad, then that is my prerogative.
Yes, it's like, I'm doing this for me. I'm not doing this for your approval. I'm not jumping into a fire so that you say I'm beautiful and cleansed. I'm doing it so I feel empowered, beautiful, and cleansed.
Exactly. It's about a cleansing. Like, sometimes I have a feeling, I start to feel a feeling and it's like, merp, and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh no. And I just like shove it in the fire.
Yeah. Sometimes I get a feeling that's more of like a cuckoo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Classic.
Or also nice feelings that are just like, will you go to the dance?
Yeah.
Like, who's that?
Sometimes I have feelings that are like, oh, what's the matter with you? And yeah. I just throw them in the fire.
I have feelings that are like, brave fetch watch for dinner.
Yeah, sometimes I have a feeling that's just like, meef, what is that?
Yeah. And sometimes I get feelings and I'm like, wait, never mind. Those are the voices that are in my head all the time.
Yeah, it's same. I'm like, is that a feeling? And I'm like, no, I'm crazy. Okay, Manila.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Why?
Are you ever like, I want to cook dinner and I want to cook something delicious and like all natural, except I'm really bad at cooking and I don't know how to cook and I don't have any ingredients and I've never been to a grocery store?
Yes, exactly.
Well, good news, because there's something called Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the whole country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to literally everyone. I love Blue Apron. I did it recently with my boyf. We cooked spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes with cabbage and furikake. And we had a glass of wine and we had a conversation. And even though we've been together for literal years, I was like, it's really nice to get to know you.
That is adorable. I feel like I usually just have 3 glasses of wine and then I'm like, that was dinner. Good night.
Yeah, but you can have food too. And that's where Blue Apron comes in. Cooking together builds strong family bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more often. What? Amazing.
I would love to have a family.
Blue Apron can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. Blue Apron is affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/reductress. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait, girl. That's blueapron.com/reductress. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Oh my gosh. So I'm so excited because we have an amazing guest here today.
She's so smart.
She's really smart. She's a renowned child psychologist. please welcome to the podcast, Jenny Vermouth.
Hey, guys, thank you so much. This is amazing.
Oh, my God, Jenny, thank you so much for being here.
I just want to say congratulations on your book. It's called Ho Ho Go to Sleep, Sleigh Training Your Kid. And, you know, you believe that babies should sleep in sleighs instead of cribs and that older children should sleep in sleighs instead of beds. You mean like Christmas, like Santa's sleigh?
Absolutely. But what a lot of people don't know is that there are Christmas sleighs, and then there are holiday sleighs, and then there are bed sleighs. And that's really what I'm aiming to do with this book, or what my original intent was kind of demystify sleeping in sleighs, especially for children.
Yeah, I didn't mean to make it about Christianity. I always do that. Yeah, I'm obsessed.
You're constantly, everything has to be about Christianity.
Yeah, it's really cool because everybody is
Christian. That's true. Everybody is Christian. Mm-hmm. But I've heard that you don't need to be a Christian to sleep in a sleigh.
Not at all, but that doesn't really factor in because everybody is Christian.
In America, everyone is Christian.
I love living in America.
Me too. What are some of the benefits of sleigh training?
Okay, so something I've seen as a psychologist, especially a child psychologist, with children and parenting these days is that a lot of people will raise their kids and keep them in a bed.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But what's really bad about that is sometimes kids fall out of beds and you get contusions. That can lead to, you know, hip dysplasia. Uh-huh. That can lead to, you know, the flu. So what I really wanted to, you know, accomplish with this book is letting people know that kids cannot fall out of a sleigh because it is on the ground.
Right, whereas beds are not.
Yes. And I also want to demystify that it's not like a Santa sleigh. It's not like a carriage with, you know, skis on the bottom of it. It's not high up. It is just like kind of like a little tub.
Yeah, like a sleigh. Although there are reindeer, because I remember in the book it said that like one of the benefits is that if your kid does fall out of a sleigh somehow, it's fine because the reindeer will catch it and fly it away.
That is 100% true. Mm-hmm. I've seen it happen. I've actually run clinical studies where I made it happen myself.
Oh, wow.
Reindeers have this amazing intuition to save children, much like dolphins save pregnant women in the ocean after a plane crash.
That's why when there's a bad plane crash, like you don't hear like, oh, there was one survivor. She was saved by a dolphin. You never hear about it. But the truth is it's because the dolphin has taken on the woman as its wife.
Yeah. And every family looks different.
Well, that's actually something that is kind of the one, you know, contentious issue. That's the kind of the gray area about, you know, plane crashes and sleigh raising your baby is that. Reindeer and dolphins tend to, you know, claim ownership of, you know, either the child or the, so you ideally, you know, I think most people would hope that the plane doesn't crash so they are not claimed by a dolphin if they're pregnant. Saying you don't want your kid necessarily to slide out of the sleigh because a reindeer will claim them.
But you also like have to admit that like that's better than your kid just falling on the floor.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I will not argue with you there.
I have a question. Okay, have you seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
I love that movie.
You know how the grandparents sleep like head to foot and there's four of them in a bed?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, do you know what I mean?
No.
Okay, in the movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they sleep all of them together in the bed.
Four grandparents and they sleep with their head and their feet and their head and their feet.
Because they can only afford one bed between the four grandparents.
And I'm wondering, is that a good way to raise your kids?
Are you saying that the grandparents just separately sleep heady footy four to a bed?
Yeah.
Or the children do it?
Well, the children, I assume what you're asking is the children would also be in the bed with all their grandparents. Head to foot, head to foot, head to foot.
It's called Willy Wonka raising. Blessings.
Bless you.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. I inhaled a pamphlet to a yoga studio on the walk here. It's very drafty. A full pamphlet.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
No, it's fine. It's actually okay. I'm going to be fine. I'm up right now.
It's that time of year.
You do seem really peaceful.
It's definitely it has to be yoga.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way. I don't do yoga, but I've thought about it today because I did inhale and choke on a pamphlet,
yeah,
piece of literature that was about yoga. And for a second I thought about it and I said, could that be for me?
That's really beautiful. One time I inhaled a menu from this vegan Chinese restaurant. And it's weird because I was just like really a bitch all day. And I don't think it had anything to do with the menu, like with the restaurant. It was just that like it was lodged in my esophagus. Mm-hmm. And I was being so mean to everyone. And then it turned out that I hadn't taken a breath for 26 hours.
I mean, I gotta say, now I'm thinking wontons.
Oh my God.
It sounds so good.
Soup dumps.
Well, if I can cough up this menu, maybe we can order.
So it's still in there.
It's oh yeah. It's been in there for 6 months.
Like a tattoo.
Yeah. It's like an inside tattoo.
Mm.
Okay. So when you're slave training your kid, like what I thought was interesting about your book is like, you don't say that you should slave train a kid from the beginning of the kid's life.
Right.
You say you should have a bed. And at some point, you should rip, every night, you should rip the kid out of their bed. And you should...
like Velcro.
You should put them into a sleigh. And I thought that was really, like, cool. Because I think that it's important for kids to know that, like, they shouldn't get too comfy.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing with that is that I think with any good thing or any bad thing that you might experience in life, you don't know a good thing if you haven't experienced a bad thing, because right. Life is about juxtapositions. Wow. Especially from like a standpoint, like a clinical standpoint.
Oh my
you
gosh,
can't
clinics.
Understand you know a really great thing unless mm-hmm. you've had it taken away from you. So what we really want to do is like if you just immediately started to keep your baby in a sleigh from the get-go, the baby wouldn't know how great sleeping in a sleigh is. So what you need to do is put that baby in a bed. So mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I can feel the springs here. I mean, I don't know if you're putting your baby in a Tempur-Pedic bed, that might be a little better and like can like adjust, but it's like mm-hmm. still that they need to be there with anything. There needs to be like an inciting incident for that child to really grow.
Trauma. And then,
yeah. It is trauma. But I will say that it is necessary in order to get the baby to sleep in a sleigh.
Yeah.
Trauma is necessary on the child. You have to traumatize the baby before it can sleep in the sleigh, or it won't appreciate getting to sleep in a sleigh.
That's so beautiful, because sleeping in a sleigh like is a privilege.
Yes. I left my baby in a ball pit at McDonald's, and I'm wondering if I should go get it.
I didn't even know that you had a baby.
I always forget.
It's hard. And the thing about babies is they're too young to remember, and none of that has lasting effect.
Exactly. And they're like not as loud as dogs. So it's like, I'm going to remember my dog. But I'm not going to remember like this quiet.
That's a good point, because like I've never left my dog in a ball pit, because every time I take it, it's so loud while it's just chomping down on all those babies.
Yeah. Oh.
You know what I mean? Okay, so you're beyond sleigh training, like you're a renowned child psychologist. You work with children, you've published studies. I guess like what's the deal with kids right now?
Okay. So I have to say there's a lot happening with kids right now.
Oh my God, I knew it.
Left and right, I turn on the TV, there's kids. I get on the internet, my targeted ads, it's kids.
Yeah.
It's just, hey, you know, it's like either a Glossier ad, and now Glossier, they're using kids. So that's really, you know, kids are actually trending right now, which is, you know, for the first time in 2017, we are seeing kids trending. And that's a lot of pressure on kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all kids now are working. All kids now are legally working, I think. So, you know, it's great for... It's important that they get, you know, the proper amount of sleep that they need to wake up and shoot a Glossier commercial. Because at this point, I think, you know, studies show that I think 70% of children from the age range of 3 to 7 years old are shooting Glossier ads for about 7 hours a day at minimum. At minimum.
Wow. And can I ask, with all the American Apparel closing, mm-hmm. where are these children getting their costumed looks for these commercials? Where is the millennial pink tee? Are you familiar with the phrase millennial pink?
No.
Pink is a color that never existed before.
Mm-hmm.
And now it exists because millennials love it.
And
because
it's featured in Glossier commercials.
And it's in the Glossier commercials, and it's called Millennial Pink.
Millennial Pink, mm-hmm. right. Well, I think that's actually largely due to the fact of, you know, the hormones being put in whole milk. And that's so now the eyes in children are developing differently so that they can see this color that I guess you can't see if you've, you know, if you were born in like 1990.
I remember in your book, The Eyes of Children, you talked a lot about that. And please, if you could elaborate more on like the eyes of children and what children are seeing.
Well, see, I have a difficult relationship with that book. Because how I pitched it to my literary agent was that originally it was going to be a picture book of pictures of children's eyes. And then they said, this is kind of a flimsy angle. We can't really do much with this. And I said, listen to me. You just have to see it how I see it. Because something about me that a lot of people don't know is that I see things in a really beautiful way. And sometimes it's hard to articulate. And pitching a book that's just pictures of kids' eyes, you know, in socket, out of socket, whatever.
So your literary agent was like, no, and then somehow convinced you that instead you should write a 400-page academic clinical study.
A tome.
A tome is a big book. Yeah. Like Harry Potter.
Harry Potter is a tome.
What is a tome?
Tome.
A tome is like a big book. It's like a big book that's like in a cemetery and there's like a body buried beneath it. And that's a tome.
A tome. It's like if the Bible like had a sandwich and it was really big.
Mm-hmm. A tome.
And it was underneath a body.
There has to be. Well, yeah. I mean, a book is a book. But if it's big and there's a dead body buried under it, then it becomes a tome.
I completely understand.
Oh, good. Cool.
Anyways.
So you wrote a tome about children's eyes. And it was basically about how like children see things differently because they're shorter.
Yes.
And so they have a very different view of the world. Like when they look at people, they don't see their heads.
Yes.
Because they're short.
And a lot of people, you know, think that kids can look up.
No, they can't.
And they shouldn't.
They shouldn't. I learned that from your book. That's so fascinating.
I actually, something that was very traumatizing to me that happened when I was a child was my father was pushing me on a dolly. We were moving and it was an amazing, you know, move. We were moving into this Brookstone and it was the first time I'd moved houses. And
Brookstone store?
Hmm?
Where you moved?
Brookstone, you know, like a Brookstone apartment.
Oh, like a Brookstone where they sell massagers.
Yeah, like my apartment.
Oh, okay. Manila's being rude because she lives in a Sephora and she thinks that's like better, makes her better than everybody else.
I know. And I understand because I used to live in a Sharper Image. And so I get where you're coming from. But honestly, now that I live in a Sephora, it's like everything's different.
I actually used to live inside of a Sam Goody.
Ooh, Lali.
OCDs.
Yeah, I lived inside the Sam Goody. It was amazing.
So what happened with a dolly?
Oh, anyways, my dad was pushing me on a dolly as a joke and he tipped it back and I accidentally saw the top of a building and I didn't know what a top of a building looked like and that traumatized me. I went into shock. I was in a coma for 14 years. I woke up at my graduation ceremony on stage. I did not have honor cords and that was really hard for me. So
you were in the coma, but you still went through high school. And you still graduated. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You're so smart.
It wasn't without its trials.
I'm sure it was really hard.
But what I was saying was, is that like a child should never have to know what the top of a building looks like.
No, I can imagine that's like super dramatic.
Yeah. And that's what I really wanted to capture with this book is, you know, what kids see, which is normally, you know, top of knee to clavicle on most adults. Mm-hmm. Sometimes with other children, they will see the head. They will see the face.
Sure.
Sometimes, and a lot of the times when they're seeing another child's face, they're seeing like an expression or like sometimes milk
yes.
on the face. If they have milk on the face milk. Or like spaghetti, because kids have loved milk and spaghetti. It's on their face.
They always are pouring that milk inside that spaghetti and slurping it up.
Exactly. They're actually born with sort of spaghetti sauce stains around their mouths in many countries.
Yeah, in a lot of countries, that's true. Because in a lot of countries, they babies can only eat spaghetti.
Is that true?
Yep.
Yes, I just checked.
I completely understand.
I'm wondering, it's so amazing that you were able to go to your prom even though you were in a coma. What was that like?
Well, I don't remember because I was in a coma.
Oh man,
I'm so sorry.
That was so rude of me. I'm so stupid.
But I did see photos. I was in an amazing dress. It was a hospital bed, and they had, my boyfriend at the time, who I never met because he broke up with me before I came out of my coma. He did grab the foot of the hospital bed and kind of wheeled me around. Aww, I saw video.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really
fun. Tell ya, I would have loved to be in a coma during gym.
You're so lucky.
Oh my God, gym sucks.
Oh my God, gym sucks.
I was always forgetting my sneakers.
Mm-hmm. I climbed the little rope up and I got stuck, and the fire marshal had to come and hoist me up.
I actually
and take
me
down.
I got stuck at the bottom of the rope. I was at the bottom and you were at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both like, help.
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 I was like, this rope is our friendship bracelet.
Yeah.
Anyways,
you're wearing it now. Around your head. I was wondering about that when I walked in. That big rope around your head with the knots in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's a friendship rope. Okay, do all kids see dead people?
Yes, I can confirm. And it's uncomfortable to talk about, but I'll talk about it because a lot of the dead people that children are seeing are dead celebrities.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah, because dead celebrities are intrinsically attached to youth. So that's who they are drawn to. I know that my niece, Madeline, she is an amazing artist. She's just so precocious and she loves to tap. She sees Farrah Fawcett every day. And
oh
she's
God.
Just, the way she explains it is that she just says, it looks like she's wearing a blood suit. And I don't really know what that means, but yeah.
She's wearing a blood suit. That sounds really scary.
I know. She's always shaking.
Is she? So she's scared about it. She's not like, this is chill.
Yeah, I don't think it's good.
Oh.
I don't think it's good.
Wow. Do you think it's true that all kids say the darndest things?
Oh, absolutely.
What's the darndest thing you've ever heard a kid say?
Okay.
Is it a blood suit?
Actually close, but one time Madeline had we were out at the Met, which is very cool, and she had somehow snuck a string cheese with her, and she pulls it out. Yeah, she pulls it out. She shows it to me. She says, "Auntie, look what I can do." And she pulls a string. She like pulls a string of the cheese off and kind of presses it on her face like a mustache. And she says, "This is crazy." She has a lisp. It's so cute. She says, I kid you not, she looks at me and she says, "This is crazy."
You've got to be
that
kidding me.
That is amazing. She's so smart.
Your niece sounds like the most intelligent little gal.
She's so precocious, so funny. She ran out of the museum because she did see Farrah Fawcett again.
Oh, that's such a bummer. It's a bummer that your niece sounds so precocious, but she's being haunted by like a world over beloved sex symbol.
Well, it's not even just my niece. I'm sure all kids can see it from what I've seen.
Yeah, just, I had a cousin who was always seeing Heath Ledger.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Too soon.
Yeah, way too soon. I mean, no one wants to see Heath quite yet.
Sorry. I shouldn't have brought it up.
It's okay.
It's actually okay.
Anyways, what are some cool things to say to a child?
Okay. So it depends on your mood and it depends on the child's mood.
Okay.
But what I will say is regardless of those factors, all children are the same. All children are the same.
Okay.
And they are receptive to the same things. Something a kid loves to hear is, "You're getting taller." And something a kid hates to hear, "Put your shoes on. I told you 3 times. Put your shoes on. We're getting in the car. Uh-huh. I told you 10 minutes ago that we have to go. You have to get in the fucking car. Get in the car. No, you're leaving that here. No, you're not bringing a bar of soap. You're not bringing a fucking bar of soap. What is wrong with you? Why couldn't I just have a normal kid? Why couldn't?" And then they also love cool pants. They love cool pants. If you can say it in like a funny accent, if you can be like, "Cool pants," they go wild.
What if you said that thing about putting their shoes on in a cool accent? Would it confuse them? If you were like, "Get in the car."
Put on your shoes.
Put on your shoes.
Don't make me bring the bar of soap.
Why couldn't I have a normal kid? I don't know. That's just one example of a cool accent.
I think that actually might
soothe them.
Yeah. Soothe, but you don't want to soothe the child too much because they will go into an endless sleep. That's what I've learned.
In the sleigh?
Hmm?
In a sleigh?
Hopefully they make it to the sleigh.
Hmm. Preferably. If they fell into endless sleep on a bed, they might fall out. And that'd be so sad. I actually have a kid sister. Yeah. Who I'm really, I'm not very close with her because she's, how do I say this? A bitch. But,
how tall is she?
She's, 6 feet. She's really tall.
Wow.
Yeah, she's really tall. And I love that about her. And we have very similar names, so people always get us confused because my name's Dakota and then her name is Kizoda because she's a kid.
When is she going to get her adult name?
I mean, when she becomes an adult, her name will become Dakota.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does that mean your name used to be Kidoda?
My name was Kidoda when I was a kid.
Mm.
And then someday when I grow up, it's going to be Mrs. Dakota.
Yeah.
And that's how you know I'm grown.
I love the pictures you have of you and Kidoda above your desk.
Mm-hmm.
You guys at Six Flags and you guys at Duane Reade.
Yeah. We used to alternate vacation spots because like one summer we'd want to go somewhere that was like a little bit more of a splurge. And then the next summer we'd just go to Duane Reade.
Mm-hmm.
And our parents would always say, they'd always say, you can pick out one item.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Kidoda would always
the pet egg.
She'd always do the pet egg. Mm-hmm. And you know me, I'd go right for those Ferrero shares.
Ooh.
A whole box.
I love that.
And that's just one reason why I'm like, Kidoda just doesn't get me.
She'll grow up. She'll grow into it. I feel like kids are like, what? And then they get bigger and they're like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. I just feel like in general, adults are better than kids. Would you say this is true, that adults are better than kids?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. In any clinical work that I've done, any labs, and any studies I've done, children are clinically proven to be smaller. They are clinically proven to be younger.
Mm-hmm.
They are clinically proven to be born after adults. And this is something we haven't really talked about before. It's kind of something that is like stigmatized, but kids can and often are younger than adults.
Yeah, it hasn't been. I was just reading an article about that, about how like there are kids and there are adults, but there's a missing evolutionary link.
Mm-hmm.
Between like what a kid is and then what an adult is, and nobody knows. Scientists, they just don't know what happens in between those times.
It's terrifying. One of my old colleagues, mm-hmm. her name was Vanessa Cho.
How old was she?
She was immediately 30.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Immediately 30.
Born at 30. That's a TLC show these days. Have you guys seen it?
I'm going to check it out. Yeah, there's like actually a really good documentary about this missing evolutionary link. It's called 13 Going on 30. And I watched it recently on the Discovery Channel and I learned a lot.
Yeah, if you work at a magazine, you're 30.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to school, you might be 13.
Yeah.
And that's something that you really have to pay attention to, because someone with this disease,
mm-hmm.
you have to be conscious of the fact that, you know, if you are a hockey player and you meet this 30-year-old woman,
mm-hmm.
You have to be easy about the sexual advances because she might have just been 13 the day before. Exactly. So she wasn't, you know,
that's what the documentary is about. Yeah. It's a really amazing documentary.
It's like, it's called The Big Phenomenon. Starring Tom Hanks.
Yes.
When he tries to have sex with a woman, but he's a boy and she doesn't know.
Yeah. I think he does have sex with her.
Yeah.
It's crazy because when you watch that documentary now,
you're like, what?
You're like, crazy. It's insane. When that documentary came out, people didn't know about The Big Phenomenon.
So they were like, okay.
It's crazy that that is, like, Tom Hanks is such a big deal actor.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's crazy to think that, like, he got his start in that documentary.
Just being a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the most famous documentary actor. Every movie that has been in has been clinically proven a documentary.
That documentary where he got stuck in the airport.
Or on the island.
In the documentary, we got stuck at the island.
Or when he knocked the little spaceman out a window, and then he has to find him, and he's so tiny. That was scary. He was so small in that movie, and face weird, face long.
Long face.
Other little things around him. Pig bank talks scare me so much.
Terrifying.
Oh my God.
Tom Hanks is my favorite actor. Right after Andy Samberg.
He's our favorite. Andy Samberg, amazing.
I had to do this clinical study recently I wanted to ask you about. They were like doing research for this new book, and they were like, are you stronger than your baby? And then I had to prove it. I had to fight my baby. I won.
Oh my God.
Your baby that is in the ball pit?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And so I'm wondering, like, what is that going to do for science, knowing that we as adults might be stronger than babies?
Well, actually, what's incredible about that is that we did not know. Every study that we do is because we did not know that thing before. So science did not know that you personally were stronger than your child. And the thing is that we could have guessed. We could have guessed that you were, in fact, physically stronger than your child. You could outsmart your child. Your child has, you know, less brain activity, less... you know, kinesthetic awareness than you do.
Neurons. Deodorant.
Yes. Time. Less time to have learned how to, you know, throw a haymaker. Right. Baby cannot watch a YouTube video and immediately learn how to do, you know, and where then, the pressure points are. And I saw the data from that study, which was amazing. You immediately found the pressure points on your child. Immediately.
So amazing.
I noticed you're holding my pressure points right now. And if you could let go, I'd really appreciate that because I got a little lightheaded there.
Oh, wow, man. You almost fell asleep.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry about that. Just, you know, don't talk to me in the morning before I've had my wontons.
Right? Trying to cough off the menu.
We'll get it.
It might have to come out the other side, but I'll still get it for you guys.
That's what seamless is.
That is what seamless is. That's seamless is
when the pamphlet you swallow
gets
comes out your butt.
Out your butt.
And then it's seamless.
And then it's seamless. Oh my gosh. Okay, so you're a child psychologist by trade, but we have kind of a situation on our hands, and we are hoping that maybe you could help psychologize one of our friends. So we have a mini pig that works in our office. Our intern, she's a pig turn, and unfortunately she's become addicted to pills because we got her addicted to pills because she saw us get in a fist fight and then started acting really weird, and we took her to therapy and the therapist put us on
antidepressants.
It's kind of a long story, but that's the gist of it.
Regardless of who you are, person, pig, stork, child, pills are devastating.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And if she is head of HR,
she is.
I don't know how well she can be performing. If she is, what you said, antidepressants, correct?
Pig antidepressants.
Oh,
they're like pretzel M&Ms, but different.
Yeah. They're candy.
I just, my bias aside, I hope she gets the help that she needs because I don't think she can perform effectively on. I don't think she can do her job in a way that is helpful to other people or your business. I think that is in poor taste, and that she is doing it, you know, openly.
Yeah.
I appreciate your input.
Thank you so much for that. Okay. Is there any advice you can give young moms out there who might have children or be thinking about having children or maybe like know some children?
Yes. Okay. So my biggest piece of advice that I give every mom is that on the days that you are having, you know, a day and you're pulling out your hair, just trying to figure out what am I doing wrong? A lot of women don't know they have this option, but you can unbirth.
Amazing.
Oh my God.
And children know. There's a there's actually a lobe in the brain that tells a child exactly when the mother wants to unbirth.
Wow.
Yeah. All you have to do is press your mons pubis, just like push on it a little bit, and the child will know exactly what to do. They actually, their heads...
like a lap dog, kind of like...
Yeah, fly. Mm-hmm. Fly right back in.
Even and if they're really far away?
Wherever they are.
What if they go to college? If they go to, they're away at college.
Yeah, what if they're at college?
Well, if they're at college, they're 18.
Oh.
That doesn't make you a kid. That makes you a model.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you think we could model?
Do you think we could model? I hope so, because I'm in the room with you, and I was told that I was being met by models.
Oh. Okay.
Do you not?
Well, like, we model, we do, like, voice modeling.
Because we have such nice sounding voices.
We have all nice voices. So we'll do, like, voice modeling.
Can you just show me your voice thigh gap now?
I'm wearing a dress.
Kendall, Gigi, I saw them in the room in blood suits.
Wow. It's so sad that Gigi Hadid, rest in peace, is dead.
She died fighting the police.
Kendall Jenner died
fighting the police. Okay, while we have you here, would you like to play a game with us?
Yes, that sounds fun.
Yay. Woo. Okay, so this game is called Nature versus Nurture versus Rockstar. So wow. Our readers wrote in with some examples of weird things that their friends do. And now you're going to tell us if this behavior is nature or nurture, or if they just do it because they're a fucking rockstar go-getter. So, for example, if your friend's blue eyes look great with a blue shirt, that's nature. Her decision to rip off her shirt and flash everyone at the bar is nurture because her dad was weird. And the fact that she climbs up on the bar to dance topless is because she's a fucking rock star. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, yes.
Okay, great. So let's do this. Cool. Now I want to get started.
So the first one is a friend who passes out drunk but then wakes up and rejoins the party a couple hours later.
That's nature.
It's just her way.
Yeah.
That's her way. Everybody has that friend who just passed out, but then like gets up and is like, where are the party at?
Because she's fun.
What about a friend with a wooden leg?
That is taught. So that is nurture.
Nurture. You learned that.
You learn.
Learned behavior.
Yeah.
Because your dad's Cap'n Hook.
Yes. If you are a pirate, your learned behavior is that you kind of drift towards having a wooden leg, I guess.
I love for that. Lack of a better I love term. That.
What if you have a friend who's good at her job?
This is a tough one.
That's nature.
You're born being good at your job.
Yeah. You're born with data entry skills. Right. And those just have to be massaged a little bit.
Well, that's like I was born with the skill of voice modeling because like this was just the way that I was born. Like I didn't have to train my voice to sound like this.
No, I just came out like I was walking, like talking.
Yeah. Okay. What about a friend who's always like just thin enough that everyone's always like, she must be really busy.
That is, she's a rock star.
Yes, she's a rock star. She is really busy, and that's why she's so thin.
She's rocking. Okay, what about a friend who's in the band The Who?
That's nature.
You're totally born into a band.
Time and time again. I see children, born and they come out and then they are in The Who.
And they're like, Pinball Wizard. He's a pinball wizard.
He went to the arcade and he had a great day. He's a pinball wizard.
Okay. I love that song.
It's my favorite.
They're also famous for that song that goes, who are you?
I'm the who.
Who are you? I'm the who and we're pinball wizards. Doobly doobly doo. I love them.
I love them too.
Wow. No, that was beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Okay. What about a friend who was born with blonde hair but dyes it brown to be more regular?
That's nature.
Yes.
That makes sense.
That makes total sense to me.
What about a friend who's a guy?
He's rockstar.
Rockstar. Guys, I'm rockstar.
So hard.
What about a friend who can talk to animals?
I would have to say that that is, that's taught. It's nurture. I don't think you should do that. I don't know.
I learned how to talk to dogs, and it took a while to learn. And then I went up to a dog, and I was talking to this dog, and I was like, bark, bark, bark. And then the dog responded, and what he said was so offensive and so completely just out of the blue, like, cut me down, got to the core of my insecurities. Like, it was great. Like, I was just like, I'm never going to talk to a dog again. And I haven't since.
That's a lot of people don't know that. But, and again, I am from below the Mason-Dixon line. Mm-hmm. But
animals, that's so sad that you grew up in a place where there was no one named Mason.
It's or Dixon.
Or Dixon. But yeah, there are fewer Dixons.
And I've met some here, and it's honestly something that I thought would be an acquired taste, but it's not. They're just like anybody else that you'd meet above the below the line.
That's why it's crazy that below the line, like, you just can't ever meet a Mason. And then once you meet them, you're like, oh, they're just like everybody else.
They are. They really are. But dogs are not.
Dogs are atrocious animals. Okay, what about a friend who has Claire Danes' email address?
I would have to say they are a rock star because Claire Danes only hangs out with The Who. We have confirmed this.
You're so true. It's a pinball wizard.
Put it in the hole with your buttons. And put a little spell on it, pinball wizard.
I also like their song that goes, theme song to CSI. It's a theme song to CSI.
Theme, here it go, man in sunglasses, take them off and there's a body over there. Is it a trans woman's body? Probably, for the sake of the show.
That's what the show is about.
Oh, I love that one.
That show is so real.
Dom Pardum. You know, what about a friend who let a guy watch her pee but not poop?
So that is contentious because a lot of people can say that is a learned behavior or that is intrinsically natural. I think it's a rock star. I think they're just a rock star. Yeah. But
I think that's true. I think it's beautiful to, like, it's like letting a man see you pee is like whatever. But when I poop, that's me time. That's my church. Like, in the way that everybody is Christian. Not everybody goes to church. And for me, when I'm pooping, that is my Christian church. And I don't want anybody to see me at church because I'm fully nude and I'm screaming.
But the thing is that is, you know, that's kind of a learned. There's anytime there's any sort of reservations about that, it's a learned shame. It's a deeply indoctrinated shame. So there are ways to remove that. And I think, you know, if you have that in you, it's a good exercise to do with your child. You know, I have not seen my children in a time. But I do hang out with my niece Mackenzie a lot because her mother is gone. And something that I like to do with her is that I'll leave the bathroom door open when I go in to stool. And I'll sit down and I say, Mackenzie, come in here. And Mackenzie, this is Mackenzie. This is not Madeline.
Okay.
That sound the same.
Yeah, Mackenzie's younger. Similar. Oh. And I'll say, Mackenzie, come in here. And she says, what? Because she's so young. Yeah. And then she like kind of stumbles in and she like adjusts her diaper and like sometimes her belly's out. Aww. She like roll her shirt up and like because she loves like raspberries. She loves her stomach blown on. And then I stand on the sill of the toilet and I turn around and I aim myself at her. No. And when I say
you take a shit on your knees. Is that
I have a question. One time I shit at a mini golf course and they thought it was a hole in one. They gave me a big bear. Does that mean I'm a rock star?
I think that means... I was... no, I'm not going to say that.
We've gone off the
rails. I think that absolutely means you're a rock star. If you have ever seen, you know, the band Fun on stage, they all have big, they all have big putt-putt bears.
Yeah.
The bears they won.
You know their song.
Everything is fun. Late nights, staying up, rollerblades in my lemonade.
Lena Dunham. I love that song. One time I had to give a stool sample for a doctor, and I thought it was because I was sick. And then later I found out that it was literally just for the doctor's private collection. He kept my stool.
Wait, what? What is his name?
Dr. Blorf.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Blurv, don't see him again. He is collecting your stool for a weird reason. And I'll tell you that reason right now. It's for a porn thing.
Oh, my gosh.
No more details than that. Sorry. Wow. I wish I knew.
Well, Jenny Vermouth, this has been literally a perfect interview. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jenny.
Yeah. If you could just stick around with us for one more seggy. Mm-hmm. It's called... Spill it. Let's try that again. I feel like we didn't go over this, but we'll do plugs. We didn't talk about this. Yeah. We'll do plugs, and you can say something in character, and then in character, you can also plug something that you have coming up.
Like, when will this be released?
Next Wednesday. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think I have anything.
Ask for a job.
I am unemployed.
I saw your Twitter.
Yeah.
But even if it's like a website or something in the past that you want people to check out, that's fine. Whatever you want. Okay, so we just have one more little seggy for you to stick around for. And that seggy is called Spill It. And that's where we say what we're doing this week. So I have a really big week coming up because I'm finally getting the courage to break up with my nanny.
And I'm going to train a pack of wild dogs to sing harmony to all the songs by The Who's.
That's so beautiful. What about you, Jenny? What's coming up?
So today is actually kind of a lax week for me. Earlier this week, I was getting an almond salad at Salad Place. Mm-hmm. You know,
Salad Place.
Yeah, Salad Place. Not only raisins. I can't eat there anymore because of that thing that happened there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The murder. Mm-hmm. At Only Raisin. Mm-hmm. When the cops came and murdered the employees at Only Raisins. Just unprovoked. Anyways, it was a really big week for me. Last week, I ran a 4K.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Which was really cool. That, of course, you know, running 4,000 miles was very hard on my... Running 4,000 miles was very hard on my body.
Yeah.
I have, as you can see, dissolved down to basically an almond. I have no arms or legs anymore. Yeah, or torso. Really. Yeah. But I still have, my face. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So I can still put that on the jacket of my books, which is... the most I can ask for. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I think I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to watch Bill Little Guys and then, you know, wait for my extremities to grow back, hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Babe, you look amazing. Yeah, even with only three hairs coming out of your almond-shaped head.
Thank you. They're so thick, though.
Yeah, yes, they are really thick.
And they're balayage.
What?
My balayage. I have three hairs, but they're really thick and they're balayage.
Oh, they're
balayage.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, it's balayage.
Barclay Center?
It's like ombre.
I love that.
It's like ombre, but like really stupid. It's like so much stupider.
Well, I love that for you.
Me too.
It looks amazing.
Thank you for telling us about your life and your struggles.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So thanks for coming, Jenny, and everybody listening. Tune in next week when we find out what the big deal is about outer space.
What's the deal?
Did you like what you just heard?
Or do you have a literal crush on it?
Oh my gosh. Well, if you have a crush on it and us,
you can go to iTunes.com and rate us and subscribe to our podcast.
Yes, because then every Wednesday, our podcast will show up in your little podcast app and you can have fun.
It's a blast. So go do it.
Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray.
And Brad Williams.
We are co-hosts of the super fun podcast About Last Night.
That's right.
And me, Tony Danza.
Oh, God, interrupting Tony Danza.
Yeah, that's right. I've been on the About Last Night podcast. I was a great guest. You know who else was on it? Jeff Garlin, Adam Devine, Chris D'Elia, Lisa Kudrow. She was on Friends, and she's my friend in real life. You know, when I'm not on the exercise bike, I like to subscribe to the About Last Night podcast on iTunes and enjoy tons of super great episodes.
You're not even on an exercise bike, Tony.
It's soothing on the ears, easy on the mind, and blessings for the heart.
Who let you out of the home?
Who let the dogs out?